Salon Culture, Culture Action Europe Podcast. Welcome to the third Salon Culture podcast, where we discuss cultural policy developments with policymakers, members, partners, and friends of Culture Action Europe. I am Rosa Perez, Senior Policy Officer, and today we will be speaking with Tina Ellen Lee. Hello, Tina.
Good morning.
Tina Ellen Lee is the Artistic Director of Opera Circus, an organization commissioning and producing new chamber opera and music theatre, working with young people through informal arts education. Tina is certainly difficult to introduce. She was an opera singer, an actress. She has produced over 30 documentaries. She co-founded Opera Circus. In 2008, she was invited to Srebrenica in Bosnia to work with young people determined to use arts to develop their community. This experience led to the Complete Freedom of Truth International Youth Arts Program, who received multiple awards, fellowships, including the European Citizens Prize in 2015. But perhaps the best way to grasp the range and width of Tina's work is with a practical example. She's visiting in Brussels, carrying forward this work. So Tina, can you tell us a little bit more what brings you to Brussels?
Good morning. The work we do with young people is primarily what we call informal arts education, getting young people to be able to express themselves through their creativity. And part of that for me is also making them aware politically of how they live their lives, how they can use their creativity in politics and their civic education. And the young people we brought from here are from the southwest of England, from the age of 14 to 26. Some of them are already involved in the European Youth Forums. We've been funded by Erasmus+, and done a number of youth mobility projects. But I felt this was really important for them to come and meet their MEPs. And as very sadly, we seem as the UK to be leaving Europe, it's more important for them to make relationships and partnerships as we are. The more we're threatened with leaving, the more we create partnerships within Europe. And for them to be able to understand their abilities to get engaged, I mean, I have no idea how they can engage in the future. We're trying to find out. Hopefully we'll try to find out a little bit more today about how they can keep up their relationships with their European friends, their European partners, the European possibilities. One young man yesterday said to me, I never knew I had opportunities to come to Brussels, to come to Europe and do all these things and take part in these things. And I think one of the sad things about the UK is that these opportunities that Europe gives us and Brussels gives us are not very evident. They're not evident in schools. And what I want to do is to encourage young people to understand what the opportunities are.
I think it's interesting, this concept of making things evident. And based on your career and your practice, what do you think is different between what youngsters and the new generation in a way can get in the classroom and what they can get through this kind of more applied, art-based, engaged education? What's the...
Very big question there. I believe that we are, as a species, creative. We are born creative. We dance, we sing as babies, we draw. It's how we express ourselves. The arts are our best form of communication. They build relationships. They help us to become tolerant. And I think as our schools, and I can only talk about Great Britain here, in fact, I can only talk about England, because Scotland is very different, as they cut art subjects, and as our school system, we do not have an education system, we have a school system, as our schools revert to a sort of early 20th century industrial form of schooling, what they're doing is they're depriving young people of their future possibilities. I think as we become more automated, as we have no idea what kind of work people are going to be doing in 10 years' time, young people have to be given life skills. They have to be given human skills. I've been working with a couple of universities in London, one particular, which is very famous for its industrial design graduates. And they're now getting complaints quite often from industry that's saying, you're sending us these highly skilled young people who can do the industrial design, but they can't work in a team, they can't communicate, they have no social skills, they're not well-rounded. Please take them back and give them culture. And you talk about culture in this world to people who are not involved in it, and they forget it's everything we are, it's everything we do, it's everything we make. And therefore, I think it's absolutely vital that if the schools are not educating the children in a round way, then in a way it's become the role of the artist in society to do this. And it's a struggle. But those of us who are in it are absolutely passionate. I mean, I grew up in London from a theatre family. And I spent many, many wonderful hours as a child going to the theatre, going to opera. We weren't rich. But I saw Maria Callas sing Tosca, and my life was decided. I would be in within the world of arts, and it's given me a fantastic life. I want to see young people have those possibilities and have a choice. You know, not just be headed in the role of you're going to be a nurse, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to be an architect, you're going to be an accountant. Please, there's an awful lot more that young people can do.
You touch upon very briefly on the role of professionals, those like you that are carrying forward this fantastic job. And I was wondering, how do you see the professional status, the kind of support you get, the kind of professional development and skills? Do we need to support you more? How can we support you more? What do you think are the key factors where more support is needed?
I really believe that our society in general, the states, the European Union, have got the system entirely wrong. I think that there should be an automatic funding of the kind of work professional artists do within society. In the UK, I know we fill a very, very deep black hole that government can't satisfy. Working in prisons, working with mental health, working in hospitals, working in schools, working with troubled youth, working with refugees. And for all this absolutely vital work, I mean, if we all suddenly went on strike, I think it would be disastrous, and a lot of people would suffer even more than they're doing today. But we have to spend hours and hours and hours, weeks, days, months, probably more than the actual work we do, applying for funding, developing projects, begging for money. We're not expensive. And I think that if governments could actually see that by funding us properly, they would save a huge amount of money in terms of social welfare, social care. I just think we need to upend our society and look at it a completely different way. Mm.
This leads very nicely to my next question, which is, if you had one thing you could change, one thing you could ask to policymakers as they look into the future, as we move from a 20th century society to a 21st, and probably at this rhythm of change, we should be looking already beyond, what would it be?
I think if we go back to the ancient Greeks understood the importance of culture and arts in society. And I think, I don't know whether it's political, I don't know whether it's fear, but I think policymakers have to find a way to include cultural activity, arts, whatever you want to call it, as central to how they build, rebuild Europe. We have millions of new citizens in our continent, and I still say our continent because I will always be a European. And the best way to engage with our new citizens is through culture. Mm-hmm. Through culture, through language, through food, to communication. And in 2000, actually, it's a little story to tell. In 2014, I took part in a workshop that was run by a then policymaker called Alain Rouche from the External Services. And we had 60 people from across the different specialities, from the Navy through to the UN, all in one room for a day talking about Ukraine. And the use of art and culture in conflict and post post-conflict countries. And because I'd worked a lot in Bosnia and Srebrenica, as you said, we understand the power of art to help people communicate. I think gone are the days when we could talk about reconciliation and traditional conflict resolution practices. If you accept that the arts and cultural practice are at the heart of our communication as human beings, they're the heart of our tolerance and understanding of each other. We share the same emotions. Music does the same thing to our brains. It doesn't matter where you come from on the globe. I think policymakers have to stop keeping culture off the table. Somebody said to me at that workshop in 2014, look how long it took the European Union to accept the fact that gender had to be part of every single policy they made. Well, I now think culture has to be a part of every single policy that's made, and proper funding needs to be put in place. And I think because one of my specialisms is Bosnia and a little bit of the Balkans, we're about to start doing a project in Kosovo. I think they have to understand, the policymakers, that not everybody speaks EU speak. Not everybody understands the difficulty of the bureaucratic system and the financial reporting. And every single program they fund has to have experts, consultants that work with people on the ground. It's one of the reasons Bosnia hasn't progressed as much as it can, because people are not, the institutions can't cope with EU bureaucracy. Let's recognize it.
Adapting, adjusting EU funding programs to the realities on the ground.
Realities. Absolutely. And understanding more what the need is. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I have witnessed over and over again with the internationals, doesn't matter which organization, whether it's the EU, OSCE, whoever it is, UN, anything beginning with UN, I've witnessed an almost total lack of consultation of what goes on the ground, the people on the ground. Mm-hmm. There is an assumption that those who rule us understand and know what is needed on the ground. There was a wonderful story of some farmers in near Srebrenica, a place called Bratunac, who had been given, I think it was 100 rotavators by the Japanese government. And the Japanese government came back a year later to see how these rotavators had helped grow more food. And the farmers had sold them. And the Japanese were so shocked. And the farmers said, we have spades. What we needed was seeds. Nobody asked us. Mm. And I think this has been repeated over and over and over again globally, let alone in Europe.
I can only but agree. Thank you, Tina, for sharing with us your passion, your vision, your thoughts on how we can and we must build synergies between education, culture, the arts, across all policy fields, across Europe understood as a cultural space, including, of course, the UK. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for joining us in the last episode of this series on education and culture. Stay tuned for more podcasts coming soon on Europe and the 2019 elections. Thank you, Tina.